What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Revision Online. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors at Revision, and I'm pumped to be with you this morning, wherever you are. Earlier this week, a fellow pastor was putting together some examples for a message, asked me if I had any great stories about putting my foot in my mouth. And my first thought was, unfortunately, I have so many of those stories. I don't really think of any of them as great. They're mostly bad or super embarrassing, but I have plenty of them. And my next thought was, should I be insulted that he asked me that? Well, like, why me? Or I should ask someone who's real dumb, who's definitely said some stupid stuff. I know, I'll ask Mike. So, you know, I'm proud to be that guy, but I did share a story with him. The first one that came to mind happened when I was 17 years old. I spent part of my summer working at a camp in a tiny little town called Eldora, Iowa. And one weekend, because there was absolutely nothing to do there, a few of us went for a drive to another small town about 20 minutes away. We parked in their little downtown area and started walking along the sidewalk, and I can still picture this perfectly in my mind because it was such a dumb moment in my life. We'd walked about half a block when we saw four 20-something guys riding their horses into town, just right down the main street. And they stopped, hopped off, dismounted, whatever you call it when you get off a horse, and they tied their horses to a post. Now, just for context, I'm a city kid. I grew up in metro areas my whole life. I went to Des Moines Public Schools, Davenport Public Schools. I didn't even know anybody who owned a horse, let alone rode their horse into town. I didn't even realize that happened in the 21st century. So I was pretty amused. And then, without thinking, I looked across the street at the cowboys and yelled, "Yeehaw!" They were not amused at all. They didn't find it funny that some random city kid yelled yeehaw at them, and they decided to let me know just how unfunny they found it. They ran across the street, got right up in my face about it, told me, if you want to yell at a cowboy, you better just lay on the ground, because that's where you're going to end up, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I considered, as they were coming towards me, just running away, because I was wearing shorts and tennis shoes, and they were wearing tight jeans and boots. But then, if they got on the horses, you can't outrun that. So I stayed and I just apologized. I told them, I'm sorry. I was not intentionally trying to be a jerk, but I realized how jerky that came off. I apologize for being a turd. And I think that threw them off just enough. They were surprised at getting a genuine apology that they ended up deciding not to throw me on the ground or anything else. They just said, okay, and walked away. And I learned yet another lesson in the long line of lessons in my life about the consequences of shooting off my big, fat, stupid mouth. There's a lesson about the wisdom of thinking before I speak. Last week, Jeff kicked off this brand new series we're in called A Little Bit of Wisdom Goes a Long Way. And he did it with a great message about how important it is for us to remember we don't have as much control over our lives as we'd like to, but that's okay because we know the God who is in control and he is trustworthy. And if you didn't catch that message, I'd encourage you find last week's service, Facebook or YouTube, and watch it. It was awesome. And it was a great way to start this series, which is a series I'm really looking forward to because I think wisdom is in short supply in our world. We have tons of information. It's everywhere, all around us. It's in our pockets. It's at our fingertips. Tons of information. But we have very little wisdom. And I honestly believe that a little bit of wisdom goes a long way. It can make a huge difference for us and for the people around us. Everybody our lives crash into every single day. Especially in a difficult season, full of all kinds of challenges like the one we're in right now. I think one of the biggest areas where that's true, where so many of us need to live with a little more wisdom than we're living with right now, is our words. I hop online and I read through social media these days, and I'm convinced, like social distancing and quarantine, communicating with each other only through screens and keyboards has not helped us, by and large, use words in a constructive manner. And don't get me wrong, there's a place for speaking words of pain, words of outrage, words of truth, even uncomfortable truth that others may not want to hear or confront on issues like racism. There is a place for those words, and we need to hear those words. But these days, I think even among people who call themselves followers of Jesus, there is an overload of hatred, insensitivity, vitriol, fear, name-calling, passive aggression, complete lack of empathy, and a whole lot more on social media. And I'm convicted by that. Because I don't think a lot of the words we see, hear, and read today are helping either the speaker or the audience live more fully. I don't think a lot of those words are pointing people toward Jesus or helping us look more like him. Which is tragic because words are so powerful. Every single one of us knows their power. I'll prove it to you. I want you to think of an answer to this question. And you may need to dig way back into the recesses of your memory, and that's okay. But here it is. What is one of the most encouraging things anyone has ever said to you? That doesn't have to be the most encouraging. That's a lot of pressure. But what's one of the most encouraging things anyone has ever said to you? Maybe it was a week ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe it was something a relative said to you, or a coworker, or teacher, or a boss. Just draw up in your mind the words and the context of that encouragement. I'm going to give you just a few seconds to think about it. Okay, I hope you got one and you're not like really struggling to think of anything nice or encouraging anyone's ever said to you. If you are, keep fighting. And if by the end of this message you can't think of anything, please text me after this live stream is over. I have something I want to say to you. But as I think about that question, there are a lot of examples in my life, and I'm grateful for that. But as I was considering it this week, there was one that kind of stood out in particular. I was a freshman in high school, way back in the 1900s. Yeah, I finished high school in this century, but I started it in the last one. And the first ever class I took, my first class on my first day at Davenport Central High School, was speech class. And it was quite an experience. Saw my first gun inside a school building inside that class. A girl opened up her purse and showed it to me and said she had brought it to keep her safe from an abusive relationship. And then she said, "Don't tell anybody." And I didn't, because I looked and decided, I like me without bullet holes. But anyways, my speech teacher was named Mr. Harchy, and he made all of us give a few speeches as part of the class. And one day, toward the end of the semester, he asked me to stop by his desk right after class. And I didn't know what I'd done wrong, but like every student in the world, I was not excited to talk to the teacher. And then the bell rang, and I walked up to his desk, and he looked me in the eyes, and this moment for me is burned into my mind. It's completely insignificant in the grand scheme of things and even in life, but I will always remember it. He said, "Mike, you're a really gifted communicator, and I think you should keep pursuing opportunities to do public speaking." Now, in fairness, he was trying to sneakily recruit me to join the speech and debate team because he was the coach and he just needed more kids. But in that moment, those words landed on my soul. They added value to my life, and I'm convinced many years later that God used what he said to impact me, shape me, and give me a bigger, better vision of what it is he wired me together to do in this world. And do you think Mr. Harchy had any idea when he called me to his desk that day that what he was about to say was going to have that kind of profound impact on my life? No! No chance. I got to know him pretty well over the years. I can say with certainty he was just hoping I'd be enough of a sucker to join his team. But God moved inside me in a cool way through those words. And God has done that in my life so many times. But here's the flip side. If I gave you all a glimpse into a different part of my heart this morning, you'd find words inside of there that people have spoken to me that have hurt my soul. Words aimed at me, spoken out of frustration, out of anger, out of bitterness that cut me and left scars. Because I can still hear them ringing in my ears years and years after they were spoken. Words that challenged my view of myself, my understanding of who God made me to be, words that have been painful. Those words are a part of life. They're certainly a part of leadership in any capacity. They're a part of being a pastor for sure. That just is. But I think no matter who we are or what our roles are or where we've been, we all have scars from hurtful words. We know their power. And if I'm being real, there are way too many occasions in my life where I've been the one who spoke those words. There are things that have come out of my mouth that I would love to take back because they've caused wounds and harm to other people. And I know I'm probably the only one watching this morning who's ever struggled with any of that, but I'll share this anyways. I've found that email and texting and social media have not improved or helped my propensity to say stupid things. Again, I'm probably the only one. But, you know, sitting in front of a screen filled up with courage does not always help me measure every word carefully. I feel like you could become a billionaire if you could invent an app that lets you unsend an email after 30 minutes. Gmail gives you like 30 seconds. That is not enough. Invent the unsend app and you will be rich. And that's the big idea this morning. I want to teach you the wisdom of profiting off of other people's stupidity. Not really. Here is the big idea. This is what I want us all to see. The future we build is tied to the words we speak. There's a powerful connection between words and the future. And real quick, I'm not saying we can speak the future into being, like, say it and it'll happen. God can do that. We can't do that. That's not at all the point. I just want us to understand that words are some of the most important raw materials at our disposal in creating the future God has for us. There's a deep connection between the words people speak and the futures we live into. There's a connection between the words we speak and the futures the people around us live into, because words shape our identity. They massively impact what we see when we look in the mirror. The future we build is tied to the words we speak. And again, we all know that. You know that. Even if you didn't know that, you know it. Just pause and think back. Take a look at your story. At all the things people have said that have changed the course and direction of your life. Like some of you, if you sat down in front of this camera and shared your life story, you'd back up to grade school, middle school, high school, when you played on a team or wrote an essay and somebody said to you, hey, you're really good at that. For some of you, you're new in your job and you had a boss or a mentor that told you, you have potential. You can make a difference in this industry. And those words have fueled your career from that point forward. And for a lot of us, we are who we are. We are where we are. We are doing what we're doing. We see what we see when we look in the mirror because somebody looked at us and said, I see in you. So many of the hopes and dreams in our lives and the goals we pursue came to us through the words of other people. And what's more, and I'm willing to bet that almost everyone in here like me doesn't think about or even recognize this very often, but there are people in this world who, when they're asked the question about one of the most encouraging things anyone's ever said to them, when they think about their life story and the words that have inspired it and shaped it, the things that come to their minds are words that came out of your mouth, things that you spoke to them. See, the future we build is tied to the words we speak. It's how God made us. It's how he intended things to be. If you have a Bible with you this morning, you can open it up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. We're getting wisdom for the journey of life through the wisdom literature, the Old Testament in this series. And there's one verse in Proverbs 18 that I want to zoom in on. It's verse 21. It says this, the tongue has the power of life and death. The power of what? Life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's a power-packed little sentence right there. With us, this idea that like words can be life-giving or they can be life-taking. And this connection between words and life, it's not new, it's not novel, it's not just found in the poetry of the Bible, in Proverbs or Psalms. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. When God dreamed up the world, how did he bring it into being? He spoke. God created and he breathed life into humanity and into this planet by saying, let there be. And bang, there was. Words create and words destroy. Words build up and words tear down. Words bring life and words bring death. It has always been this way. I love the way Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says it. It says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Isn't that cool imagery? How many of you can relate to that? As you think about the words that have been spoken to you that crushed you, that hurt you, that feeling of sadness and pain, how many of you have ever felt like someone else's words stabbed you, just like a sword, pierced you and left you bleeding? And in the same way, like how many of you have had words of love and life and compassion spoken to you in the deepest, darkest, most broken moments of your life and felt like those words brought healing and brought hope? Because they helped you bounce back and recover and move forward. I think all of us have. I have. I mean, we know the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words... The truth is, sticks and stones can bruise our bones for days or weeks, but words can bruise our souls for decades. They can stab us like a sword, but they can also heal us when we're beaten and wounded and broken. I was talking to a buddy, another church planter, who's been going through a season of being beaten up and bruised a little. It's been frustrating and difficult for him, like even before coronavirus and everything else that's going on in our world that the church has to speak into and adjust to. And he's just been struggling with the church plant. And a lot of church planters end up walking away. a lot of church plants fail. And he said, hey man, the other day I was having this little pity party for myself about how hard this is and how much it can suck the life out of you to plant a church. And I was thinking about just throwing in the towel, but I remembered something you said to me a while back. I was talking about knowing when to quit. And you said, I don't think you quit when you're tired. I don't think you quit when you're beat. I think you quit when you're done. And I don't think you're done. And remembering that, man, it just fired me up again. I'm not done. There's work left to do. The best is yet to come. I'm gonna keep going. Here's the thing. I don't remember saying that to him at all. It honestly sounds a little bit too clever for me. I'm pretty sure I stole it from someone. Sounds like I had seen a meme on Facebook that morning and I parroted it back to him. But however it came to me or through me to him, those words brought healing in his life and they're still bringing healing. They're still bringing life and it blows me away. This morning, I want us to all just ask the question, if our words have power, if they're intimately connected to the future of the people around us, how are we using them? What kinds of conversations are we having with the people we interact with every day along the journey of life? Are we speaking death or speaking life into people? In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul talks about what it looks like to live like Jesus in community with others. And in chapter 4, verse 29, he writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen." This is a really cool challenge. I think sometimes in churchy circles, we hear that, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, and it gets minimized to like, don't say swears. But that's not really the point here. This is not what Paul's trying to say. The Greek word he uses that we translate like building up, it was a construction term in the first century. And it was most commonly used to describe putting an addition on to a house or a temple or a building. Like taking something that was there and then adding something else to make it bigger and better and more beautiful. Expanding it. And what Paul's trying to get us to see is that that's what our words can do in other people's lives. That they can take a life as it is and expand it. They can speak something so profound into the soul of another person that it makes that person more than he or she was before. And he says, too, we should be intentional about doing this for other people according to their needs, which is a little bit more difficult. It requires more intentionality than just saying whatever you feel comfortable saying whenever you feel comfortable saying it. Like, we're supposed to be aware of the needs of the people around us and then speak not what we feel like saying, but what they need to hear for their sake, because God wants to extend a blessing to them through us. And listen, I know this isn't simple to do, because we don't always want to say nice things to people. And sometimes we don't even know how. Like, how do we approach it? But I've been trying to do this, and you guys have heard me say it before multiple times. Whenever you think something good about someone, say it. Anytime. Every time. I had to sit back at one point and just tell myself, Mike, just do it. Even when you don't feel like it. Because you owe it to people to let God give them life through your words. If you hold it inside, you're robbing them of a blessing God has for them. So I want to encourage you this morning to do that exact same thing. Don't hold life inside of you when you can speak it to somebody who is frankly getting death spoken to them in too many places in our world today. Don't rob God's blessings from them by not speaking. Start speaking every good thing you think. It'll change your relationships. I've talked about this before too, but there's a psychologist, a guy named John Gottman, who has observed thousands of engaged couples over the years. And he says he can now predict with 94% accuracy, he's got a long track record of it, whether their marriages will survive beyond 6 years. And what's crazy about all that is his analysis over all these decades of watching different couples and doing all kinds of research has boiled down to one single breaking point: the ratio of positive to negative comments the couples make to one another. Gottman makes predictions about the success of marriages solely on the ratio of speaking life versus speaking death. He has two categories of couples, masters and disasters. And he says this, there's a habit of mind masters have, which is that they are scanning the social environment for things they can appreciate and say thank you for. They're building a culture of respect and appreciation very purposefully in their relationships. Disasters are scanning the social environment for their partner's mistakes. I promise you, I guarantee it, any relationship you have with any person in any setting will be better if you intentionally decide to speak more words of life and less words of death to that person. You got a struggling marriage right now? A lot of people do in this difficult season of coronavirus. Well, I guarantee you, if you're struggling, there are too many toxic words. You got a boss or a coworker or an employee you're fighting to get along with. A kid you just can't seem to reach. Parents you're fighting with constantly. A neighbor you can't stand. A teammate you wish was not on your team. Well, the little jabs, the bullets with sarcasm wrapped around them. The failure to mention their successes while never failing to miss one of their failures. It is making things worse. And speaking words of encouragement, words of life. Words not just about who they are, but about who they are becoming. That's not the magic cure that'll solve every one of your problems and make things perfect, but it will absolutely make things better. It will. It'll change the direction of the future, because that's how God created us to work in relationship with one another. Now, side note, I don't want any of you to hear that right now and elbow your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents or your roommate or whoever you're watching this with right now and see and look at them and say, "See, I told you you're the problem. You always say mean things. I hate you, you jerk." That's not it. Don't do that stuff. You do you. You speak life. Speak life. Tell people what they need to hear. And tell them who they're becoming. They might not be there yet. But do the best that you can to see who they could become and speak that into them, because the future we build is tied to the words we speak. Your words can shape what people see when they look in the mirror. I got two quick disclaimers that are important for us to understand real quick. Number one, when Paul tells us to speak what people need to hear, and when I talk about speaking words of life into the people around us consistently and intentionally, that is not about telling people whatever they want to hear. Some people need to not hear what they want to hear. There are too many wonderful, sweet moms out there in the world that just love their kids so much and they want to encourage them. And so their kid walks around the house singing and the dear sweet mommy says, "Oh, you have the voice of an angel. I could listen to it forever and ever and ever." And you know what happens at the end of that? Have you seen American Idol? That's what happens at the end of it. And it's real funny for the rest of us, but you know, like, it's not good. It's not good. And so this isn't just about saying fluffy garbage for the sake of pacifying people or for the sake of saying what people want to hear. It's about really genuinely speaking true words of love and life to the people around us, even when they're hard words to hear. And disclaimer number two, when I talk about this and when I talk about how there's a powerful connection between words and the future, I mean it. There is. But I'm not talking about this thing known as word faith theology. There's this idea some people have that says God's primary concern in our world is our own material wealth and well-being. And they say, if you just speak the future into existence, God will make it happen. We call it health and wealth. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. That your words can create whatever you say. Like, I'm gonna have a Corvette in Jesus' name. Bam, you got a Corvette the next day. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying and nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a bad misreading of the Bible. What I want us to know this morning is that when we align our words with God's love and God's truth and who God made the people around us to be, there is power to change who they become. Power to impact the direction and the quality of their lives. The tongue has the power of life and death. So I want to leave you this morning with a question. Like, who has God placed in your life? And what do they need to hear you say? Who's God placed in your life and what do they need to hear you say? Your coworkers, your significant other, your kids, parents, friends, teammates, neighbors, employees, Facebook friends. Who has God placed in your life and what do they need to hear you say? What if you told your wife, "You're worth 100% of my affection"? What if you told your husband, "I'm proud of you. I know we got this mountain up ahead of us, but I believe in you and I will walk alongside you as we conquer it"? What if you told your kids, "Oh, God is doing something big in your life. You have this gift. This is who you are becoming"? What if you told your parents, "Thanks for making me feel loved and valuable"? If you're a kid, don't think for a second that won't have a huge impact on them. It will. What if you told your friend, "My life is richer because you're in it"? What if you told your boss, "Thanks for making me better at this job. I appreciate your leadership and your investment in me"? What if you told your employees, "You're worth every penny we pay you"? What if? Like, a little bit of wisdom goes a long way. What could happen? Where could it take us? What sorts of better stories could we write if we started to be wise about our words? Because I feel like if we get this right, if we decide today to be intentional about the words we speak, and not just to guard our tongues from speaking poison and death, but to actively look for ways in which we can speak love and life and truth, even uncomfortable truth, about difficult topics like racism. But if we can intentionally speak love and truth and life to build up and encourage the people around us, we can make a difference. Like, what if we began to tell people who they are becoming in ways that shape their identity as they look in the mirror, that create a better future for them? Oh man, if we do that, I'm fired up to be a part of a community like that. One that's speaking life to each other, speaking life to a dying and dark world in this difficult season. And it'll take a little bit of courage for all of us. But God is inviting us to something big. The tongue has the power of life and death. No question about it. The only question is, how are you going to use that power? Will you pray with me? God, it's hard sometimes to control our words. And it's easy sometimes when we're sitting in front of a screen with our fingers on a keyboard to speak angry words, to speak hateful words, to speak unhelpful words, to speak words that lack empathy for the people around us. God, we're living in a world that has a lot of information but very little wisdom in the way that we use our words and the way that we communicate. But you tell us that the future we build is tied to the words that we speak, that the tongues you have given us have the power to speak life and death. And God, I just pray for Revision Church. I pray for everybody who's watching today that we would be a community, that we would be a people that speaks life, that speaks encouragement, that looks out at a world that is not yet what you want it to be and tells it who we see it becoming, tells the people around us who we see them becoming so that we can speak and bring life to everyone around us. God, give us wisdom to use our words in a way that builds the future and writes the story you want to write for our world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.